Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Started. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast. We want to thank all those who are listening around the world. We just thank God that you took the time out of your day to come spend with us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just thank God today. This is Palm Sunday. And we just need to get ourselves. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for Palm Sunday. Amen. Amen. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for that. And, you know, when we listen to that song, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world.
Yes.
I don't understand why people don't get more excited about the Lord living within inside of you.
Amen. Amen.
We have our move, we have our life, we have our breath, and we have our being. Amen. But yet and still, people don't get excited about the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They don't get excited about he redeemed them. They don't get excited about their adoption. They don't get excited about the forgiveness of sins. You just think that's an everyday thing, and I'm telling you what, it's not. It costs a whole lot to get for me to forgive you. And then you just sit back and say, you know, I deserve to be saved. No, you don't deserve to be saved. You deserve not to be saved. But God loved you so much, he sent his only son to die for you, do something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Sometimes I just think and am amazed at how much God loves us. It just makes me shiver to think that somebody loved me more than I love myself. It makes me shiver to think that no matter what I've done, no matter what you've done, God sent his son to die for you. So it doesn't make a difference. When somebody say, like the song said, when you say I'm not enough, that's okay, but God said I'm just enough.
Yes.
Amen. I serve a God who says I'm just enough.
Yes.
He says you just enough. You don't need to be no more than who you are today. God is going to, is willing and able and has the power to save you. You don't need a fancy car. You don't need any money. You don't need even to know any words other than hallelujah, because that's the highest praise you can give God.
Yes.
I just thank God he has made it that simple for us.
Yes.
But yet still what we do is what? Make it difficult. Because we got our own imaginations on how God wants to be praised. And God just wants a simple praise. Sometimes God wants a, they say, an undignified praise. You're trying to be too cute with your praise. You're trying to keep every hair in place and every nail on. And you're being and trying to, you know, not show any emotion. But you know what? If you lift your eyes up in hell, I bet you're going to show some emotion.
Okay.
I bet you lift you. I bet you show some Watusi dancing then. Okay? I just know God is good.
Yes.
Amen. And again, since this is our anniversary month, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while that we used to do. We're going to have Sister Joyce do scripture and Sister Jackie do prayer. Amen?
Amen.
It's like old time.
Yep.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 37. And it starts at verse 3. And it reads, trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yes. Yes.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Mm. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness in the light, and thy judgment at the noonday. Rest in the Lord.
Yes.
And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. But evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
I read to you Psalms 37 verses 3. No. Verses 1 through 9. May God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of His holy name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Yes. Yay.
Good morning. Let us go before God and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we certainly come before you this morning with glad hearts, Lord. We are happy to come before a God who is God of all gods, who is God of King of kings, Lord. You are our Father, Lord. You look low on each individual that is here. You keep us, Lord. Thank you for being such a faithful and a wonderful God, our provider, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us for things that we have done, Lord, that we don't even deserve to have forgiveness for, but because of the kindness and the love that you have for us, Lord, you do forgive us, and we praise your name for that, God. We just thank you for each household that is represented here today, Lord, that took the time out to come together with your saints so we could just lift your name on high and just say hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here over the years, Lord, and keeping us together, keeping your word going forth, the truth going forth, Lord, so that we, as your servants, can go out and pass this word along. Lord, give us the courage to do just that, Lord. We want to give your word out so others will enjoy the wonderfulness of you, God, the lovingness of you, God. We just thank you for it, Lord. Teach us to be bold with your word and pass your word on, Lord. Now, Lord, we just ask that the words that come forth here today be words that will penetrate our hearts, words that we can carry on, Lord, and just give it out to someone else. Bless the word that is coming forth and those that are going to deliver it. And we just say thank you, Jesus, and amen.
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 Yes.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. Have you ever watched the Indianapolis 500 as they go around the track? And every now and then, they'll pull in to get fresh fuel, new tires, and whatever's needed for the car. And these guys work real fast, and they get back on the race. It's called a pit stop. They don't just stay there. They move back out into the race, and they're ready to go because they've been re-energized. So what are we to learn from that? So do you. You go through different stuff that have become tragedies in your life, your CIAs of life, circumstances, incidents, and accidents. And you need not let them be a pitfall. It needs to become a pit stop. Temporary slowing down, halting to get recharged, re-energized, so you can get back in the race. How do you do that? By faith and repentance. When you repent and have faith in the God that will forgive you for your sins, you can get back in the game and get going. So think about it. Next time you go through, realize it's just a pit stop and don't let it be a pitfall. And you'll go forward with God. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. God has been so good to us.
Yes, He is.
And sometimes we just forget, or just don't take for granted. You know, something can be so good that you just take it for granted.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're so used to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like we breathe the air, the sun come up, the sun go down, summer, winter, fall, and spring. But you know, God is doing all of that.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Every time I look at nature, I'm like, man, we serve an awesome God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like I've been here 60 years now, and I can actually say that I know for a fact there's been 60 sunrises. If you know what I'm saying, more than that. But you know what I'm saying? For my life, I know for sure, over the years of 60 years, 365 times 60, sunrises, sunsets, winters, fall, springs. And it's never, ever not been on time.
Amen.
You know, we don't go, it doesn't become June and we have snow. You know, we can, but He hasn't. Amen.
Amen.
The thing about it is God is trying to let us know through nature, if you know nothing else, that there is a God.
Yes. Amen.
If there's a creation, it has to be a what? A creator.
Yes.
You know, some people call him this, some people call him that, but we call him God and we call him Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
So I just thank God today. So let's go. We're in Corinthians, and we've been talking about Corinthians for a while. Sister Brown has done a good job. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And what the title of this is going to be, Don't let your liberty cause you to lose your witness. Or better yet, don't let your liberty be a liability. Sometimes, as Christians, you're saved, you're sanctified, and all that, you know. You're all of that. You got that. You set. And God has guided you, and you've learned what not to do and what to do by the word. But then there's this thing called liberty, freedom, that God gives you because he wants to see how you're going to exercise your liberty under his salvation. So there are some things he never talked to you about. The Bible doesn't talk about what color shoes to put on. The Bible doesn't tell you what house to buy. That's your choice. The Bible doesn't tell you who to talk to and who not to talk to. He leaves it up to you. And he doesn't tell you, actually, that you should marry this one or that one. He sets the standard. You either pay attention to the standard or you don't. You have so much freedom in the scriptures. But a lot of times what ends up happening is because we have so much freedom, we forget that we have to be committed, accountable, responsible for the freedom that we have. The freedom was not free. It cost God everything to give it to give us this freedom. And so we can't take it lightly. So today we're going to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10 and 11, Paul is on this mission. And there's this church in Corinth. If you go back to chapter 1, you don't have to go there. But if you go back to chapter 1, there was something unique about the church of Corinth that's really not like any other church from then to now. It said, Paul said, they had every spiritual gift. That means they had it going on. They had every, can you imagine a church having every spiritual gift? Every spiritual gift. Good preaching, good teaching, good song, good choir. Everything that you could think of that would be good in a church, they had, and God gave it to them. But it's so fascinating to me that even a church that has good gifts without the character can ruin the gift. You can be gifted, but ruin the gift by your character. You can be gifted and ruin the witness that the gift's supposed to represent by your character. And the Corinthian church was that church. They were so in the world still that even the gifts they didn't have any impact on the people that they were supposed to serve. Because they were still in the world. They had sexual immorality. They had preferences. I mean, they had everything. They're not going to do the Lord's Supper right. Everything that they were supposed to do because they were still in the world, the gift wasn't strong enough to carry the witness. Now, in court, what about court? How do you get disqualified as a witness? Well, if you're doing the same thing they're doing, you can't be a witness. It's like a drug dealer testifying on a drug dealer. You can go up there and they can use you, but your witness is going to be suspect because the first thing they're going to say is they must have offered you a deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a term in the courts called having dirty hands. Mm-hmm. That how dare you come before the court and you still got dirty hands. Mm-hmm. You can't be a good witness because you have a motive behind it to try to hide what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So your hands are dirty. So you can't witness. And the same thing with us with Christ. In chapter 9, he's talking about the witnessing that people are watching us and how we move. And he doesn't want to be disqualified. And then in chapter 10, you can get disqualified for witnessing to people. But then there's a witness going on inside of you that if you're not careful, you can mess that witness up too. The Holy Spirit is supposed to witness to us and guide us into all truth like we learned yesterday and to lead us and teach us of the things of Jesus. But think about this. The witness that we have is not only for the people, but we have to also have the witness for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is a person and his mission is to testify of Jesus and for us to testify of Jesus to other people. We have an assignment through the Holy Spirit. Okay? We have an assignment through the Holy Spirit. Somebody's watching you.
Yes.
How good a witness are you? when you do something, it doesn't just affect them. In chapter 10, he talks about how it affects you. All right? So we got two things going on. We have to think about it. What does our witnessing do? What did we talk about yesterday? Two things and two things only. If you're a good witness, it edifies the body and glorifies God. Same thing when you, for yourself. It edifies you and glorifies God. Now you think about this. Anything that glorifies God is going to edify you. Mm-hmm. But you can edify yourself and not glorify God.
Right.
So we have these parameters. And you're free to operate in those parameters with answering that question. And what I'm about to do, say, or think, does it glorify God? And if it glorifies God, it's good for the body. Now, it didn't say it's going to feel good. I don't want you to think that glorifying God means that it feels good to you. Because that's how we measure stuff. If it feels good, it's got to be God. No, that's not true. God will allow you your liberty to see if you have enough common sense and discipline to rein yourself in. Shut your mouth. Don't go over there. Don't do that. Yes, you're free. You're free to do anything you want to do. But is your freedom going to be looked at as a stumbling block for the next person? If you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then you should have the discipline and the strength to understand people are watching you and your witness. They watching you. They watch you at your job. They watch you in your home. They watch you out on these streets. And you got to ask yourself the question, what kind of witness am I? What do people really see? Do they see an empty wagon clanging the loudest? Or do you see a person that's rooted and grounded in the word of God? Do they see love, joy, peace? Or do they always see confusion? But you know what? You can be saved. See, the Corinthians were saved, but they were a mess. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when you see a saint not operating within the parameters of their gift and their witness. That just means they may have a moment. We all have moments where we don't do exactly what we know to do.
That's true.
You know, you got to give a person room to grow. You know, and even with that, what kind of witness are you if you don't give a person some grace?
Amen. Yeah. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of witness are you if you don't give a person some room to grow in grace? What kind of witness are you if you're not long-suffering? What kind of witness are you if you're not patient? God is showing me little by little some things that ain't even worth talking about. You got to let people be. Unless they say something heretical, so what? They say some things that's not necessarily kosher with scripture, but you know what? They know Jesus died for their sins.
Amen.
They accepted him as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So what? They believe that actual water baptism saves them. Does that hurt? Does that knock them out of salvation? No, all that is they need to be taught. And if you hear something like that, that means God has given you an opportunity to have a relationship with them, that you mature them in the things that they need to be true. But don't throw them away because they don't necessarily got all the things that you have.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
See, one of the biggest problems with our witness is we don't have enough piety towards God. We're in fear of God. And we have too much pride and we have too much preference. That hurts your witness. You presume because you're saved, that you're sanctified, you're full of the Holy Ghost, that's the it. That's the beginning. That's not the end. Now you go on the journey to be a witness. Witness for who? Witness for Christ. Witness to other people. Witness to the world. You are the light unto the world. You are the replacement for the nation of Israel. But that's nothing to brag about. That gives you responsibility. You don't brag about, you know, don't get overjoyed that you saved. Yeah, that's a level of thing you should be happy about. But after that, you're going through the walk called sanctification. You're growing, you're learning, and you're witnessing to people day in, day out. This is what we go through. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 first. Look at the last two verses of 9. Now remember, 9, he talked about witnessing to being a good witness for the people. In chapter 10, he's going to talk about how you can get disqualified as a witness because of the way you think and what you do. So listen to what he says in 26, 20, 27, in verse 9, chapter 9.
1 Corinthians 9:26. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Think about what he just said. He said, I don't waste my time just jibber-jabbering. Boxing in the air, shadow boxing. Because that's not reality. He said, but what I do is bring myself under the discipline and be careful what I say and how I move so I won't be disqualified. He didn't say not saved. He said disqualified. Mm-hmm. Think about it. When you run a race, if anybody ran track, some races they tell you, you must stay in your lane all the way through. You can't cross down to the center, to the end track. You must stay in your lane all the way through. And if you cross over that white line, you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. You're still a runner. Mm-hmm. You're still in shape. But you're disqualified because you crossed over the line. Some of us, if we're not careful with our pride and our presumptions, we will be disqualified. Our witness will not be effective because we're not walking in the love that God has gave us to walk in. We're walking in too much pride. Go to Proverbs 16 and 18. What is that, Steve?
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Pride goes before what?
Destruction.
And a haughty spirit goes before what?
Fall.
So that means if you're prideful, we have destruction to look at, but we also got to fall. What makes us fall? It's the fact that we think more of ourselves than we should. Mm-hmm. So what, you a pastor? So what? Does that make you better than anybody else? No. So what, you know a whole bunch of the word of God, does that make you more saved than anybody else? No. Even Paul said, if you have all these gifts and don't have love, you don't have anything. We need to understand that disqualification can come in the weirdest of ways because we don't humble ourselves before God and humble ourselves to the people of God. I'm not important. No, he's important. I'm not y'all's boss. I'm y'all's brother. Let's not get this twisted. So many times in our churches, it's that top-down leadership. But leadership's supposed to put everybody else on his shoulders. Because Jesus is the rock. The apostles' doctrine is the foundation. And from the foundation of the apostles' doctrine, we build a superstructure. And the fivefold ministry is supposed to be a gift to the body that builds the superstructure, edifies the body, until we all grow up in the stature of Jesus Christ. That's our job. As witnesses, your job is to always look for opportunities to build up. Let's look at Proverbs, what is that, Steve, 29 and 23.
One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor.
So, one's pride will what? Bring them low. Then, what it say? Read.
But he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor.
He is lowly in spirit will attain honor. What is lowly in spirit? Being humble. Mm-hmm. Not being braggadocious. Not participating in endless genealogy arguments. There's nothing wrong with strong debate if the debate is about Jesus. But there is something wrong where we're debating form and fashion and religion. Your religion better than my religion. Baptist better than Catholic. Catholic's better. That's useless arguments. Because you could be a Catholic and be saved. You can be a Baptist and be saved. But when you get into the argument of which one is better, your witness becomes weak because you move away from a Christ-centered salvation. It's the centeredness that we have in Christ that even though we have different denominations, there's one thing we should all have in common. Jesus died for our sins.
That's it.
It doesn't take much to say that, but sometimes we get caught up.
Yep.
We get caught up in the excitement of our religion. And we like, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. And God is not honored if you don't do it that way. Well, the thing about it is, if you don't believe in His Son and His salvation, what difference does it make how much religious activity you do?
Right.
That's what makes your witness weak. Because you're not centered on, like, the reason why I'm witnessing is to get people to Christ, not get people to come to church.
Amen. There it is.
We say, well, Pastor, don't we want people to come to church? Of course we do. I didn't say that we didn't want people to come to church. But if you sit here talking to somebody, you shouldn't be like, you need to come here to pastor. They talking to you. God put them in front of you. You catch them. I'll help clean them. But don't put the thing on me, pastor. Come over here and fish because I need to catch this fish. No, they have a relationship with you.
Right. Yes.
They're looking for your witness.
Right.
They work on your job. Uh-huh. They come in contact with you every day.
That's it.
I'm just your pastor. But you could be the one who brings them into the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because they trust you.
Yes.
They watched you over the years. They said some things to you, and you said some things to them, and now they're coming to you and saying, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to say, well, you need to come to church. That ain't what you tell them. That ain't what you tell them. You tell them about Jesus and what Jesus, that's where your witness comes in. Your salvation story that's personal comes to play. All right? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Steve, read 1 through 13.
1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, mm-hmm. and all passed through the sea,
mm-hmm.
and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea,
mm-hmm.
and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Mm-hmm.
We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And 23,000 fell in a single day.
Mm-hmm.
We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. On whom the end of ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability.
Amen.
But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it.
Amen.
Amen.
And the part you need to pay attention to is take heed lest you fall. So you think about that. What, the problem with the Israelites was not that they didn't get saved. It's not that they didn't get to participate in the beauty of being saved from Egypt. So they were saved. The problem is they start taking God for granted. Mm-hmm. They figured they were the chosen one of God. They figured that they had God on their side, which they did. But there's a point whereas you begin to take God for granted because God gave them rules. God gave them regulations. And God said, live with inside the liberty of what I told you. But just like them and just like us, we do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And still expect God to do what he said he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we shouldn't do. Because what they did was disobey God big time. If you can read that in Numbers chapter 11, they disobeyed God. And throughout the Bible, you find people in certain positions of power or even the nation of Israel, what they begin to do is get haughty. Mm-hmm. They begin to get arrogant. Yeah. They begin to walk around and saying, you know what our God did to the Egyptians? He'll do it to you too. But why would God do that to you when you totally being disobedient? Right. You say God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yeah, his character's the same, but God says he's going to punish the wicked. Why do you think if you're chosen that you're above being punished? You see, that's where you get that candy cane preaching from. They thought that they were okay because they were chosen. And sometimes you think you okay, and you can do what you want to do because you're living under grace. Don't let your liberty mess you up. Grace will be the thing that hangs you because the fact that you can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can grieve grace lets you know that you need to pay careful attention on how you move after you get saved. You can't do what everybody else do, and neither should you want to do what everybody else do, even though you can do what everybody else do, because somebody's watching you. Look around to each other and say, somebody watching you. Yeah. Somebody watching you. So right now we're just going to go through, and you need to take heed lest you stand, lest you fall. Take heed how you stand, because you may be, you think you're standing and you actually falling. So today is not going to be as long because we got to unpack this even the more. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 today. Go ahead, read, Steve, 1 through 6.
For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers.
And some of your verses may say ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. You know God don't like ignorance. He wants you to be aware. He wants you to be aware. He wants you to be knowledgeable. He wants you to understand. By all means, get understanding. If you don't have an understanding, it's not God, it's you. And a lot of times it's because you don't want to hear what God has to say because he's already ruled on what you're supposed to be doing. Have you ever been in a situation where God is dealing with you and you already know God has ruled on what you said and you read it and you just don't want to accept it because it hurt? Because it goes against, you want to make excuses? I've made excuses before. I don't know about y'all. Well, God, it ain't easy to stop. Sometimes God will say, stop it. You don't even have to look no further. He says, stop it. But you know, God, you know, those women over there look kind of good. That's what there's like saying. Those other women, them exotic women from other tribes and other nations, they look kind of good. But I know you told us not to go over there. But you know, I haven't had... these ones in our camp don't look so well. But them over there, they fire. You know, they exotic. But see, I told you don't go over there. Because if you go over there and exercise your liberty, it's going to cause you to fall away from me. That's when your liberty becomes a liability. When your actions turn out to be what drives you away from God. I'm not talking about being unsaved. I'm talking about being a witness. Once they went over there, how could they be a witness for the God who said, don't go over there?
Amen.
God
Amen.
Sits back and see how you're going to work your liberty. And they were told, don't go over there. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Go ahead, read.
That our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Now stop right there. They all, you say all, right?
Yes.
That's every last one of them that came out of Egypt.
Yes.
They were all under the Shekinah cloud by day. And then they had the pillar by night. And they were baptized into Moses when they crossed the Red Sea that was dry. Baptism is just identification. They were identified into Moses. All right? Sprinkle baptism, immerse baptism. This is baptism that identifies. And so does your baptism identifies. But it's baptized into someone. It said baptized into who?
Moses.
Read it.
Baptized into Moses.
Baptized into who?
Moses.
And you're baptized into who?
Jesus
Christ. Jesus Christ. See? You're getting it. I know that y'all been told baptism, the Holy Spirit is out there experience, but again, you're baptized into Christ. The day you get saved, you're placed in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Read Ephesians chapter 1. It tells you.
Yes.
You in Christ Jesus. Great is he that's in me, that's he that's in the world. I in him, him in me. And, you know, these statements let you know that you are positionally in Christ. And now that you're positioned in Christ, you have a behavior and an expectation to be a witness. And to be a good witness, you have to follow his instructions.
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit gives you through the word of God. If you don't read your Bible, you don't know the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit carried men along through thousands of years and helped them pen the word of God.
Amen.
That's the reality of it. But you know what? We're going to take a little journey through time and look at all these churches and all these people who were presumptuous. They were gifted. They were powerful. And for some reason or other, their witness became tampered because they thought more of themselves than they should. They became overconfident. You become overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe that you have no room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen in church.
Yeah.
Y'all seen the people that be like that in church? They know everything, and they know nothing. Because the one thing they do, they know everything by the letter, but they don't know everything by the Spirit.
Right.
And because the Spirit will help them temper what they know to serve, take what they know and turn it into love.
Amen. Yeah.
Turn it into sacrifice.
Yeah.
Turn it into submission.
Amen.
You know? So let's start off with somebody that was given a kingdom and then lost his mind. Go to Daniel. Chapter 4. Verse 28 through 33. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar was God's instrument to chastise Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're in Jeremiah, and we're watching it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel is after it has been. It's post, during captivity. Okay? It's during the captivity and what the Israelites were experiencing. And this is Nebuchadnezzar's experience with the fact he was called, he was chosen, he was given the power, but somehow or another he got the big head.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence, and for the glory of my majesty?"
Do you see what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me, mine, I. Isn't this what I built?
Yeah.
For my glory?
Mm-hmm.
This is my church. I'm the pastor.
Wow.
I do what I want to do. Hold up. I've heard those statements.
Yes.
Not from me. Thank you, Jesus. But let me learn from that, you know, I don't think that the pastor who said that was in his right mind when he said it. He got too full of himself.
Yeah.
Take heed, lest you fall. Don't let your liberty turn into a liability.
Yeah. Amen.
So Nebuchadnezzar, he got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's the king of the whole world right now. He subjected everybody to him. And he thinks he done did it all by himself. Look at me. Look at my kingdom. And then what happened?
While the words were still in the king's mouth.
While he was still talking. Go ahead.
There fell a voice from heaven.
Here it comes.
O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And you shall be driven from among men. And your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox.
Think about it. Uh-huh. 1 minute you got it going on, next minute you in the field eating grass.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
All because of your pride.
Yep.
All because you took the liberties of God and trampled on them. Mm-hmm. Throughout the Bible, we see this happen. It happened to Saul.
Yes.
Saul's kingdom was taken away from him because he started getting a big head. And it's kind of funny the way Saul tried to do it. Saul tried, when he got caught up, he tried to say, I did this for God.
Yeah.
I did this presumptuously. I did this for God. The Bible warns us about being presumptuous with God's things. You know, I kept the best for you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you told me to destroy it, but I kept the best for you. I even kept the king alive just so you could see me kill him. David was presumptuous.
Yes. Yes.
David is God's man for sure.
Yes.
Anointed as a little boy, kills Goliath, enters into the kingdom as a conquering king. Can nobody defeat David? David was a bad man. But then David, one day, taking his liberty, walking across his porch, looking over, sees something that he wants. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. See, don't think that you, because you saved, you still can't fall.
Come on, man. Come on.
See, that's our problem. We're not careful.
Yes.
You got to be careful. That's why you can't go everywhere. That's why you can't do everything.
Indeed.
If you want to have a good witness.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
And we know how that story ends. David was so full of himself that when the prophet came and told the story, David already pronounced sentence on himself. He said, the man who did that to that man who owned that sheep should die.
That's
and
it.
The prophet turned around and said, that's you.
That's it. Yep.
How many times in your life, in your walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit say, that's you.
Amen.
I see what you're doing. You talking one way and living another. You fooling everybody else, but you're not fooling me. Because that's you. Well, Lord, but it's difficult. I don't care about it being difficult. It was difficult for my son to go on the cross for you.
Come on, come on.
Yes, yes, yes.
And see, the problem is what we just read in 10. It says these things was written for us as an example. We're supposed to learn what not to do from this story.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Romans 15:4 tells us that these things are written in the past and aforetime for our learning, that through careful studying of these scriptures, we may gain hope. You're supposed to gain hope in this, because what you're supposed to see is see yourself to the point that if you're not careful, you can fall too.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why we need each other.
Amen.
Amen.
When one is weak, the other may be strong. I may see you falling, but before you fall completely, I come along and say, we ain't going there. You stop.
Right.
Amen.
But Pastor, I know it's complicated. So? Don't you understand that you're tampering with your witness, not your salvation?
Come on.
Your witness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
People are looking at you.
Yes.
People are counting on you.
Yes.
But you're still out there. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just a maturity thing. Mm-hmm. Don't throw them out of the sanctuary and the church and all that, because they're still immature. Because you ain't as mature as you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
None of us have arrived. We still on this journey together, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And where we don't cut off one piece of the body and let the other piece keep going. We try to patch up the body, the part of the body that's sick, so we can all get to the side together.
Yes. Amen.
But again, that goes back to understanding that if we don't bring ourselves under subjection and discipline ourselves like we read in 9, it's gonna be hard for us to be a good witness.
Yes.
You're gonna have to say no to some stuff.
Yes.
You're going to have to literally say no to some stuff. You're going to have to say no to some people. You're going to have to say no to some places and some things. Well, Pastor, it's hard. I didn't say it was going to be easy. Because you've been living in the flesh longer than you've been living in the spirit.
Yes.
Well, let's move along in the history of the Bible. Steve, where do you want to go next?
Matthew.
Yeah, let's go to Matthew.
I love it. Matthew?
Matthew what?
26:33-35.
Matthew 26:33-35.
Peter answered him.
Peter! Where Peter at? Peter ain't here today. Peter! The apostle of apostles. The chief apostle. The spokesman. The one who would say something good one minute and put his foot in his mouth the next. So Peter, Jesus done said that he had to go away. Jesus done said that he must suffer. Jesus done said that unless he does this, they can't receive the Holy Spirit. And let's see what Peter and them do. Go ahead.
Peter answered him,
mm-hmm.
Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.
Don't y'all can't y'all see y'allself doing that? Lord, I don't care what they do. I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It don't make no difference what they do. I'm going to be with you, Lord. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to come to Bible study. I'm going to help the pastor. I'm going. You're going to overpromise and underperform.
All right.
Those who've been around me know I just smile. Poor thing. I already know you ain't gonna do what you said. You meant to. See, sincerity is good, but being sincere don't perform.
Right.
Sincereness happens in the moment that your emotions are involved.
Yeah.
When you make a vow to do something, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It'd be better that you didn't say you was gonna do something and show up. Matter of fact, there's a proverb that talks about, it says, what if the son is honored? Is the son that said he would and didn't, or the son that said he didn't and did?
Yes.
Come on now.
You do better keep your mouth shut and showing up than to say you showing up and don't show.
Don't show.
Yes.
That
is
so true.
Yes.
We went through that cycle with a group of people. We ain't going to say who they are. They know who they are. And it ain't the ladies. Okay.
Uh-oh.
don't sit there, you know. Yeah, I'm just telling you true. We further along down the line now.
Amen.
And that helps the body. See?
Amen.
Praise God.
When you assume that somebody else will do what you're supposed to be doing, how's your witness after that?
Well,
God told you to take that role. God commanded you to stand in that gap. But you know, I'm tired today. I don't feel like standing in that gap. Jesus wasn't too tired to go to the cross for you. See, every time that you do something, you should look at the cross and say, does this glorify you, God, that I'm being lazy?
Well, come on.
Oh, Lord. Lord, I'm going to stay. No, Lord, you know, it's getting complicated. My life is, you know, and he looking, and I can imagine Jesus looking down at you and saying,
well,
you still don't understand what I gave you. You still don't understand what I've done for you. Read.
Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same.
So you can so all of them said the same, and we know what happened.
Right.
The minute they put their hands on Jesus, they all scattered.
Right.
See, you tough when you ain't challenged.
Yes.
You got all the holy talk.
Yep.
And all you need is one little problem come your way and you fold up like a $3 bill. Let one little challenge come your way. Oh, I'm going through. And Jesus said, they're like, you just said great is he that's in me and he that's in the world. Where's the disconnect? The disconnect is you don't even believe what you're saying. You haven't taken what you said to heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You ain't took it to heart yet. That's why your witness is whack. Because you're taking liberty in the wrong direction. Instead of allowing your liberty to let you press into God, you letting your liberty take you away from God. You can do it if you want to. I want to say this again. You still saved, y'all. Thank God. Because that salvation wasn't up to you.
Come on, amen.
It was up to him.
Come on.
Who saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Thank God that it wasn't up to you. You'd be kicked out a long time ago. But your walk with God and your maturity is up to you. How you submit to the Holy Spirit that you learn through Scripture is up to you. Who you pray for and how you pray is up to you. And how you walk before the men is up to you. So again, it's up to you to a point. But my point is, look, I want you to understand. You can do it, but you got to let go of you.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Yes.
You got to run the race that's before you that he set before you. You can't run my race. You got to run your own race and stay within the guidelines. Now, he may give you guidelines to run the race that I don't have.
Right.
He may give me guidelines to run a race that you don't have.
Yes.
But each one of us runs our own particular race. Race for what? The glory of God and the edifying of the saints.
Yes. Yes.
Your witness, glory for God, help me figure it out too. Glory for God, help me grow.
Yes.
Glory for God, help me sustain.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're not in this alone.
Amen.
Even though sometimes you may feel like it, remember, we're watching how you handle the times that you are alone.
Jesus.
Do you realize that he's with you always?
Amen.
He said that he would be with them. He said, to the end of the age, I won't be with y'all. But yet, and still, saints, we haven't took all that to heart to empower us to be such a witness that we're not scared of nobody.
Yes.
You can destroy my body, but you can't destroy my witness.
Yes.
And if I get my witness out and my words out, they'll go further than my body ever could.
Yes.
That's why when God said, Jesus said, greater works than these you should do, don't you understand it's the witnessing that has went around the world. He was in Jerusalem. He wasn't in Detroit.
Come on.
Yes.
We knew him in the flesh. The Bible says we don't no longer know him according to the flesh. You know why? Because we know him according to what? The Spirit. The Spirit can go places that you could never go physically.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Think about it.
So true.
Take heed. Lest I fall. I need to understand that. You could have all the religion and still miss your assignment of being a witness. All I am is a witness. What I'm doing right now is witnessing from this position. You can witness from right where you at. Think about what we say. You can get saved anywhere, right?
Right.
And you can witness anywhere.
Yes.
You don't have to be in church to be a witness. And why witnessing to us? We already know you're saved. That's the easy way out, right? I'm going to come to church and talk about Jesus to the church folks. We need to talk about Jesus to the unsaved.
That's right.
But again, the reason why you can't because you took too much liberty doing the things of the world, and you know your witness is weak. You know, some of the people watch. If I bring some of y'all friends and family members in here and say, how do they act when they're not here? Y'all probably run up out of here. They be like, just tell me what they do. And you know they'd be glad to tell it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be glad to tell what you not.
Right.
And see, I'd have to stop them and say, oh, no, no, no. They still say they just not a good witness. They're just not a good witness.
Amen.
There's a church. Go to Revelation. There's a church. And they thought they had it going on too. And go to 3 and verse 17. Revelation 3. And it's not Revelations. It's Revelation. That's just you know. We say that. And again, it ain't gonna send you to hell to say Revelations, okay? And it don't make you a bad witness to say Revelations. Alright? It's okay. Lighten up, y'all.
Right. Right.
For real. There's some things we really need to be focusing on, but there's some things that, you know, just let it go for right now. Yeah. You know, I ain't gonna spend a whole sermon talking about revelations. You need to believe in what was revealed, which is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory inside of you.
Yes. Amen.
Look how much you got going on inside of you. Yeah. Greatest he that's in me, is he that's in the world. Yeah. I can do all things that Christ strengthens me. The hope of glory is in me. You got all this power. Amen. And you can tap into it anytime you want to, if you really believe. Where's your zeal for God like it was when you first got, well, I'm not going to say when you first got saved, because some people had a zeal then. Yeah. But where's your zeal for God?
Yeah.
And the things of God that want people saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to fill up the church. I want to fill up the kingdom.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Pastor Bird. I don't want to fill this building up.
Come on.
I want to fill the kingdom up with saints.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to see people go to heaven.
Yes.
I want to be walking through heaven and want somebody to say, Pastor Sutton, I was around the world and I heard your sermon and you said you wanted to see me in heaven. I got saved. Glad to meet you.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody was listening to your Bible study, glad to meet you.
Amen.
Because your motive is salvation. Your motive, you want to be a witness so people can get in heaven. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a witness so you can get a come up.
Mm.
I'm trying to be a witness so you can go up.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, read. Revelations. Revelations chapter 3, verse 17, right, Steve?
Yep.
Yep.
For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm-hmm. You say, what? I'm rich. I got it going on. At what standard? The world standard.
Right. Yeah.
But Jesus comes along and say, but by the Spirit, you're pitiful. You're wretched. You're nothing. Your witness is weak because you're concentrating too much on what you see, touch, feel, and smell. You're concentrating on the senses and not the Spirit. See, you can look like you're about something to this world, but be about nothing to God. And then you can look like you're nothing to God, nothing to the people, but be about everything to God. God is not a respecter of persons. So why should you be?
Right.
Last time I checked, I said this a million times. I never went to Macy's or Stixbury Fuller, for those who remember that, or Boyd's or none of them other stores, and I saw a rack that said church clothes.
You got that right.
Amen.
It's hard to find
church clothes
stuff anymore.
There's two things that you need to be clothed with: the robe of righteousness and the crown of glory and the full armor of God.
Yes.
Very good.
That's what you need to be clothed with.
Amen.
That's what you need to be clothed with. That which God wants you to be clothed with.
Yes.
You need to have the fruit of the Spirit, all of them, not one, two, three. Love, joy, peace. All of it. You can't say, I got love, joy, and peace, and don't have the rest.
Right, right.
Because it's the love, joy, and peace that's going to help you long suffer.
Right.
It's the love, joy, and peace that's going to help you have patience.
Yes.
It's the love, joy, and peace that will teach you to be kind. See, you people be picking them apart like it's fruit. It is fruit.
It's fruit.
That's what that fruit contains.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't say, I got one and don't have the other. If you don't have all of it, you don't have none of it.
That's right.
You got to have the whole fruit. And nothing but the fruit. You got to have all of that. But we got to be careful, y'all, lest we
fall.
Don't let your liberty trick you. Just because you can don't mean you should.
Yes.
Paul's going to say, all things are lawful for me. All things are proper for me. But you know what? For your sake and for my sake, guess what? I may choose not to do them because you may be weak in that area.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
That's
right.
Yeah. I'm not going to I can take my liberty, but how taking my liberty and making you stumble, how does that glorify God?
Come on,
yes.
How does that glorify God for me to take my liberty? I can eat meat, offer to idols. It don't mean anything. But what if you just a new saint just came out of that synagogue of hell,
yes,
that church, that worship of demons, and that was part of their ritual, and you just got saved, and you know that was a part, and that's a part that you were really stuck on, and then I'm sitting at the table because the idol don't mean nothing, that don't mean nothing. But guess what? You see me sit down as somebody you look up to and witness to you, and I start chowing down meat offered to idols.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're wondering. I just got delivered from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Maybe what I thought, I could go on back to eating meat from idols.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the problem is, in his conscience, eating meat from idols means something.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be aware of other people's consciousness.
Yes. Amen.
They might not be as mature as you.
That's right.
So you need to look out for them. Well, I can do, yeah, I get it. You grown, you bad, you full of the Holy Ghost, can't nothing help you. But think about this. If it don't glorify God and edify your brother or sister, it ain't God.
Yes.
Don't let your liberty be a liability to you.
That's right.
If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he strengthens me to please the Father. And that's all I want to appeal to today. We got more out of 1-6 than that. But that's what I want to. You are baptized into Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So since nothing can separate you, you don't have no excuse why you can't be a good witness.
Amen.
Life is going to be hard at times for us. That's fine. But I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the kind of witness you want to be.
Yes.
You stand through somebody who's stumbling and fumbling through life, been trying all the material stuff, listening to all that bad teaching, and they wondering why you ain't tripping like they tripping. They done sent the money to the bishop and the fortune teller and Ms. Rudolph and them, and stay like in stealers and shambles. And then you sitting there as a witness of Christ, and you say something like this. You say something like this. Those things that you did, I understand. Because guess what? I did it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I understand how you feel. I felt the same way until I found out.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that Jesus Christ died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that he redeemed me.
Mm-hmm.
And that sin has no more dominion on me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for me to participate in witchcraft anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got the greater living side of me than what's in this world.
Yes.
I believe in his blood. It cleansed from all the sin. But I'm still going through. I'm going through too. But the focus is I can go through because Christ went through it for me.
Amen.
He was our witness, our example. We read that in 10. He was the example. We got this for the example so that we won't fall like they fell. We won't be so attracted by this world. Because even he said, if you're friends of this world, you're an enemy of mine. And some of us are teeter-tottering with our liberty, walking up to being friends with the world. Oh, I'm going over here because, you know, I'm going over here and I'm going to save some people over there. No, you're not. You're going over there to participate in sin.
For real.
You ain't saving nobody. You going there to participate, to partake.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you think you're fooling somebody. Because you might go over there with your Christian words and let them start passing the past. Then then all of a sudden, them Christian words leave you. And then what didn't happen? All of a sudden, the person who's the highest, the drunkest, the most rattle rouser says, in your face, I thought you were saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And you like, but I can, no. I thought you were saved.
Mm-hmm.
What you just done is show me no reason to come to your Christ because he ain't got no power to make you stop.
That's right.
He ain't got no power to make you stop. Why would I want to come to your church? You ain't stopped. You just put a lid on it for a little while and shook the soda bottle up. And now over you doing what we used to do, and you doing it 10 times worse because your heart hasn't been changed.
That's right.
And now you got to moonwalk and explain to them that you say we all fall short of the glory of God. We all saved by grace through faith. Yeah. Why even go through that?
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
All of us got relatives in here that we turn up still. Either on one side of the family or the other. They invite you to the barbecue. I'm not telling you not to go. I'm telling you, you have to remember a lot of times turning up goes on as time goes on. So while y'all sitting there eating the food, everything cool. But there's a point in your spirit saying, you know what? It's time to go. Where you going? Y'all go ahead. I know y'all want to do what you're going to do, but I can't be a part of that. Well, why can't you? We family. Yeah, we family by blood, but we ain't family by spirit.
Okay.
See, they're going to bury this body. And by our soul gonna live forever. And then they look at you and say, what you mean? Now it's time for you to be a witness.
There you go.
Now it's time for you to be a witness. And you still leaving.
That's right.
You ain't drifting back. Because you have the liberty to stay if you want to, but you want their salvation so bad, you use your liberty to a point, you don't flirt with sin, and you go ahead and leave. And then you left them with the word of God. You planted the ungrafted power of God in their life, and now you just got to wait for the Holy Spirit to do what it do best, say, folk.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And you took that liberty, that time, to be with them people, to be with your people, to be with those unsaved folk, get in the word of God, then it's time for you to leave. You ain't got to partake. Especially if you know if you partake. And again, it always happens like that. The person that you think that they ain't paying no attention to you, they watching you.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And they watching to see if you gonna fall. They're seeing, like in the Garden of Eden, I heard this the other day, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve put on their fall fashion.
Oh, wow.
You caught that?
Yeah.
They put on their fall fashion. And we got them fig leaves. The thing about it is, we want to keep you from having to put on your fall fashion. We want you to continue to wear the full armor of God. We want you to continue to wear the crown and the robe of righteousness. We want you to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We want you to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But your witness is so important beyond your salvation. That's called your sanctification. That means the journey to which from you're saved until you go to the grave, that you're growing into Christ. You don't do what you used to do. And then you find out that because you don't do what you want to, you used to do, some people are looking at you and saying, bravo. I've been waiting for somebody to be an example for me that I know. They don't know me, they know you. And so don't let your liberty. Don't let your liberty be a liability, y'all. You can do this.
That's right.
Be a good witness for Christ.
Amen.
Don't be like David. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar. Don't be like the church of Laodicea. Don't be like them churches. Don't be like them. Don't be like Peter, overpromising, underperforming. Just do as God is leading you to do. And let your liberty not be a liability. But let you walk in the love of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Lord, as we head towards Resurrection Sunday, let us realize what it cost you, oh Father, to give your son that we might be saved. That we can exercise this free liberty that we have in Christ. That others may be saved through our witness. Lord, let us go boldly before the throne of grace, that we can both go boldly before the throne of this world and challenge this world and challenge the things of this world, and talk to our friends and our family about the love of Jesus Christ, and that they can be saved too. But Lord, let us take heed to what we're doing, Lord, because we might fall. Lord, let us not be tempted to be a witness that's not worthy, but a witness that is pure in heart. The motive is simply to get people saved. Lord, I thank you, because the righteousness that we have is imputed. It's not a righteousness of our own. It's the righteousness that we have that we're placed and baptized into Christ Jesus. It's a much better baptism than Moses, because his baptism didn't save, but yours has saved us to the uttermost. So I thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you guys for listening around the world. We want to thank you guys for being coming to listen to Walking Truth. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.